Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Steve, who's our design director at Channel 10, big Aztec basketball fan, and he said, how many points do you think the Aztecs are going to win by last night before the game? Came by my desk. I said, I don't know. I think the spread is like 13 and a half.
15 for me.
Against California Baptist. And I said, I think they cover that. I think they win by about 15. You know, KenPom's projecting a 16-point win for the Aztecs. And he goes, no, I think this is going to be a lot closer. I think it's going to be a seven-point game. Again, I feel like in the end they're going to pull away. And so I'm watching the game last night, and I'm feeling pretty smart. Yeah, I was impressed by California Baptist.
As was I.
And their offense. Guys can shoot.
They can shoot.
You know, you don't come into Viejas Arena, most teams, and hit shots the way the Lancers did last night. But even with all the shots they were making, they were still down 5 or 6 at the half.
Yep.
And then San Diego State started pulling away, as I expected, in the second half. It looked like Cal Baptist, they kind of losing their legs. You know, some of those shots were coming up short. And eventually, the Aztecs were up like 19 with 8 or 9 minutes to go. And I go, okay, it's blowout time.
Blowout time, yeah.
You know, just don't get sloppy, and this is going to be a really easy win. And my jaw was almost on the floor as California Baptist just possession after possession. Three. And they're just like quickly getting back into the game. It was single digits, and then it got down to 6, and then it was 5, and then it was 4. With like in the last minute of the game going, holy cow, the Aztecs need to avoid what would be a crippling loss now here at home against a team that was ranked like 199th in the net rankings. This is getting a little too nervous for Aztecs fans last night.
It was way too close.
Yeah, I was texting with some buddies,
too close.
And one of my boys, he goes, we need like a 10-point win to help in the net rankings. And it got to the point where like, bro, we just need the dub.
Like,
we just need the dub.
Like,
right,
hey.
We can't. What did they say? Dutcher is, what is it, 112 and, at Viejas
yeah.
Arena? You can't let California Baptist be one of those 12, one of those 13. Absolutely not.
And I can't even point to anything the Aztecs were necessarily doing wrong.
Rebounding is what Dutcher
said. Yeah, there was
said.
Yeah,
some
rebounding.
He said, look, it basically starts and stops with rebounding. And they, on the offensive glass, Benny, they got out rebounded 17-7, you know, and that team is too good. That's effort, you know. That's an effort thing. And what is it, Baptist? No, I almost said
California Baptist.
California Baptist. This is a Dallas Baptist. California Baptist outworked them on the boards last night.
What I see often, and you know, the Aztecs are a good shot blocking team with Guath and Jones. They block a lot of shots, but they're so sometimes obsessed with blocking the shot that they're then out of position.
Yep.
When they, you know, they alter the shot and it doesn't go in, but then they're not there to grab the rebound. The other team is like, okay, well, you're trying to block my shot. I'll just miss one quickly and then grab it again and tip it back in. And that happens a little bit too often for San Diego State. So they need to find a balance between the shot blocking and actually boxing out and keeping, you know, those opposing teams from those offensive rebounds that turn into a lot of easy baskets. You know, once again, it was different guys stepping up. Guoff, who had no points against USD, had a good first half, yep. You know, hit a couple of threes, 10 points, and then kind of disappeared again in the second half. But that's when Miles Heidi stepped up and had a career-high 10 points, second straight good game, 10 points and 5 rebounds. Miles Byrd, every time Cal Baptist hit a three-pointer, it felt like Miles Byrd would come back and answer on the other end with a big shot.
He's unreal. That steal and the dunk, oh my God. I mean, he's so fun to watch. He's an electric player.
He is certainly taken his game to another level this season. He's a fun player to watch. And this team, and, you know, Paul, you know, you've been watching the Aztecs for a long time. They have so many more shooters than I have ever remembered San Diego State. Like, the big guys can shoot. The guards can shoot. The forwards can shoot. I mean, you used to remember games where it would just be like, all right, well, they're going to brick it for about 10 minutes, and they'll be down 12 to 11, and then they'll eventually win it 62 to 54. And now it's like, I don't know, go down the court, make some shots. It's an actually decent-looking offensive team.
Defensively, a guy like Magoon Guoff, he looks every bit of San Diego State basketball. We've always had that tall rim protector, shot blocker, that force down in the blocks. But when he steps out and he's hitting nothing but net from 30 feet, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's a different level, man.
Wild. And then Nick Boyd he is really impressing me.
He's awesome.
His ability to score, whether it's driving to the basket, his shot has looked great. Pretty scary moment yesterday when he took that elbow. I thought he was like unconscious there for a second on the court. He was just laying there motionless.
Took it right in like the temple where you really don't want to take an elbow.
Scary.
Came back out with a big bandage on his head, and then Taj DeGurville had the face mask.
The face mask.
He had taken
it in
practice. So
I'd wear it if I didn't need it.
They're taking their bruises, but they get the win, improved to 7-2. Yeah, it's not going to probably help them in the metrics much, but they avoided the bad loss. I will say, you know, they're going to have an when Reese Waters comes back, and he may be back certainly in time for hopefully conference play. I haven't heard an update lately, but the idea was getting him back here late December. They don't have another game until December 21st against Cal in San Jose. So a chance here in the next couple of weeks to get back the guy that you was expected to be your best player, your most experienced guy, who's returning the most points, and he has not yet played a single minute for the Aztecs. They'll have to work out some rotation issues again once Reese Waters gets in there. They've done a great job of just spreading. Everybody's gotten some touches. Everybody's gotten some looks. How do you add Reese Waters to the mix? I mean, does Wayne McKinney even get on the court anymore? Or is he just going to get a couple of minutes? You know, he hasn't really gotten into a rhythm. He had one or two decent games, but has not totally gotten into a rhythm coming off the bench for San Diego State yet. So Dutch is going to have some issues when that happens. But ultimately, one of the most balanced San Diego State teams.
So fun.
You know, even including the Final Four team. You know, and this is, they're not bad defensively either.
No.
They guys play hard. They D up for the most part. And, you know, Cal Baptist, give them credit. They were hitting tough shots. The other team, they made 12 threes on the court at Viejas Arena.
Yep. I mean, what was that? It was,
I can't remember a team that's come into Viejas Arena hit 12 three-pointers.
State had a 19-point lead,
19.
I think was the highest.
Yep.
It was hovering between 12 and or 10 and 14 points kind of for most of the second half at least. But they just hung around.
And you looked up, and you had 2 minutes to go, and you go, why is this game this close?
Like, if you're a Cal Baptist, you see the scoreboard, you're down 10 for most of the second half. You know, you're two threes away
from being right in it. You
and
know, it's funny, Paulie.
They let them hang.
You were talking about checking the score, and I'm going to complain about something that I've complained about a lot in my life.
Oh, can I throw out the phone number? Because
yes.
I agree with your complaint. We need a contestant for Real
so
or
glad
Fake.
I wasn't alone.
833-288-0973. If you want to play, chance to qualify for our trip to Vegas, Real or Fake in a couple of minutes. 833-288-0973. Call now, rant away, Woods, because I agree with you.
I rant about a lot of stuff. And I will see people ranting about this for every sport.
It feels minor.
And it's very minor. It's the first time ever that I went, all right, I get it. And I'm talking about the score bug
on your view. If you don't know what a score bug is, it is that bar at the bottom. It's got all the pertinent information.
Are you wood-splaining a score bug to the audience?
Yeah, people may not know. Right, I don't. Maybe they didn't know what it's called. The bar with all
the graphic.
Info. The graph.
On the screen, yeah.
Hannah walked in from dinner, and the Aztecs game was on, and she sat down, and we were talking about dinner and the great service she had. And she said, "What's the what is happening with that graphic?" I go, "I'm glad you said that because I've been thinking about it all night while watching the game." She goes, "Who's winning?" And I go, "All right, if you look right here, that's the Aztec score." She goes, "What's that number next?" I go, "That's the shot clock." She goes, "Oh yeah, that's moving."
What's the other number? That's their ranking.
That's their ranking, bro. This is verbatim. And she goes, "What's that?" I go, "That's the Mountain West logo next to the Cal Baptist logo next to the score." She goes, "Why don't they have a number?" I go, "Because they're not ranked." She goes, "I am so lost. What's the score?"
They were and all go, jumbled together,
bro.
Man.
It was like hieroglyphics. So I texted these
guys. It's
like
a stock ticker at the bottom of the screen.
Yes. Try to decipher a stock ticker, right? So I texted both of these guys, and both of them wrote back, "Oh my God, I'm so glad you said something, because I felt like I was losing my mind." You got to fix that thing.
It's one of the worst score bugs ever created in television.
I see people complaining about score bugs. I'm like, why don't you get a life? Go touch some grass, dude. You'll be fine. You'll be relaxed. Everybody figures out. Legit. The first time in my life I've ever complained about one. It was a train wreck.
All be on the same line. You need a little bit of depth to your score bugs. You know, football has generally gotten it correct. They figured it out after many years. Can you believe we grew up, Polly, watching television? They didn't have the score on the screen. You'd have to wait, you know, every 3 or 4 minutes.
They pop up.
You know, Celtics 97, Lakers 94, 4 minutes left.
Yeah, okay. You had to pay attention.
And then it would disappear and you'd just guess for the rest of the next 5 minutes what the score was because they didn't even put it on the screen.
Was it the same with baseball? Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There'd just be Cubs, no Braves, count, and you're like.
No count, no score, no inning,
like I
pull nothing.
I an example of yesterday's score bug, and I'm looking
I,
at
I have
it,
no idea.
Watching on our YouTube stream. Like, I see the 30, the shot clock. I think San Diego State 30. Has 30 points.
Yeah. Yes, 30.
They're down 19. This is a disaster.
The numbers are the same size. They're just so jumbled together. It was.
Look, and, they're off-center, too.
My wife was sitting next to me watching the game. I didn't say anything to her. I didn't text you guys yet. Like, I just was like, God, this is tough. So, I don't remember it being like this because I've watched a lot of like FS1 or CBS Sports Network and kind of forget about the Yearview broadcast.
Let me read it to the audience. It says MWNCBU, California Baptist 49, second half 10, 30, 66, 23, San Diego State, Aztecs logo. It's incredible. Hannah goes, "What are those little dots?" I go, "I think that's timeouts."
Buy. Sell. Sell.
Wait,
sell.
Are the dots timeouts?
Those are the timeouts. Okay. The dots timeouts. Are timeouts. Yeah.
Oh, my God, man. It was brutal. Fix it.
But we're so resistant to change. I remember when, I think it was Fox, had the first like permanent score bug on the screen. We all thought, oh, no, this will never fly. This is crazy. Some wacky person wants to change sports by putting the count and the score on the screen constantly. Can we stop messing with things, please?
I'm so glad they do.
I'm so glad they did it.
Oh, my God.
And no, yeah. The score wasn't 30, Jose. You missed. Yeah.
Yeah, was, 30.
That was terrible. All right, we got some callers. Let's get to it. It is time for a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods. Yeah, you can go plow through another donut. It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
All right, our lucky contestant, and I have not picked them yet, but we have one ready, can qualify for our two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas in March, plus two tickets to Hoops Central, their big tournament viewing party in March. You can check out the Westgate's $70 million in room renovations, and then their luxury seating, high-definition screens, table service, and all the gaming action while you watch all the basketball in the month of March. For tickets, head to westgateresorts.com. Let's see Jake. Jake, are you there?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. All right, Jake. You're going to be our contestant today, or real or fake. And hopefully Woods can help you, because this was actually his request of category.
Oh, it is?
It's that time of year. How well do you know your holiday movies?
Oh, yes.
Today Real or Fake, I've got a list of 7 motion pictures perfect for the season. All you have to do is separate the real from the fake.
I have a feeling these aren't going to be like
It's a Wonderful Life.
No, it's not. All right, Jake, you know how to play. You need 4 out of 7 right to qualify for the grand prize drawing. You ready to go?
Yep.
All right, let's go. Round number one, real or fake holiday movie. Black Christmas, real or fake?
Real.
It is real.
Wow.
Slasher movie, 2006.
Really?
Holiday slasher. Yep. All right, that's one. You are 3 away from the win. Round number two, The Perfect Holiday, real or fake? The Perfect Holiday.
Real. Whoa.
Real.
Jeez.
Queen Latifah, Gabrielle Union, 2007.
Must miss.
Jake seems to know his holiday movies.
When you told him the category, Jake, did you go, oh boy, you sounded a little nervous. You acing
these
crushes. Yeah, I did.
Round number three.
I thought he was going to throw in some Die Hard in there.
Oh.
Oh, no. That would be too easy.
Also too cliche.
Menorah in the Middle, real or fake? Menorah in the Middle, real or fake?
I can help you.
I'll take the help.
Fake.
Says fake, Jake?
Still fake.
You're absolutely wrong. 2022.
No way!
Hanukkah movie, Menorah in the Middle.
Christmas movie.
I said holiday movie.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
He did.
Son of a...
Holiday movie.
Sorry.
All right, that's all right.
There is no way there's a movie called Menorah
there
in the
is.
Middle.
2022.
It's Frankie Muniz in it.
Round number four. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Real or fake? Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Let's do a fake.
1964 classic.
Why has he done 4 reels in a row?
The Martians abduct Santa to learn what fun is all about, but Santa has to defeat the Martians and get back to Earth. All right, we're back to even now. You need 2 out of these last 3. Round number 5. The Hebrew Hammer. Real or fake? The Hebrew Hammer.
Come on.
Woods, what do you think?
That's fake, man. It's got to be.
Jake?
I don't know if he does 5 reels in a row.
There's no way.
Fake.
It's real. I'm going to murder you.
Adam Goldberg and Andy Dick star in The Hebrew Hammer, where Santa's son Damien tries to destroy Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa. But the Hebrew Hammer stops them.
I'm sorry, Jake.
Oh, no. All right, we need to get these last 2 right. All right, round number 6. A stripper named Christmas.
All right.
Real or fake? A stripper named Christmas.
Somebody's on corn tub.
Again.
Let's go another fake.
Yes.
That one's fake.
Game 7. Here
that
we go.
Fake. Here we go. Game 7. For all the marbles, you need to get this one right. Real or fake holiday movie? The Man Who Invented Christmas. Real or fake?
Woods, what do you think?
I don't have the foggiest idea. Not the fog. I can flip a coin for you. We can go that route.
Oh, God. Let's go with real.
To be our first qualifier of the month, he goes with real. The correct answer is...
Yes!
Real! Jake, you have done it. 2017. The movie stars an actor named Dan Stevens.
Isn't that your alter ego?
That's your old...
It's my alter,
alter ego.
Yeah, Dan Stevens stars in The Man Who Invented Christmas from 2017. Jake, stay on the line. Paulie's going to get your information during the break. You are in our first qualifier for our grand prize drawing for Las Vegas. 6 reels and only the 1 fake.
Dan Stevens.
I'm looking him up.
Dan Stevens, actor Dan Stevens from The Man Who Invented Christmas.
That's your alter ego. Your other alter ego, Ben Hoggins, he stars in A Stripper Named Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought I could see that as a movie with heart, you know, a stripper named Christmas who the magic of the holidays comes to her.
Somebody...
Establishment somehow.
Somebody comes and actually saves her. And...
No. She saves.
Oh, she
I think
saves
she
him.
Saves Christmas. She's the stripper with a heart of gold.
Okay, I just call it
like a pretty woman sort of thing.
Dancer.
Yeah.
Okay. Stripper's a little bit 1987.
Well, this movie could have been from 1987.
That's true.
You don't know when my fake movies were actually made. So.
Dan Stevens is an English actor. First drew international attention for his role as Matthew Crawley in Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So Downton Abbey.
He's really gone downhill.
It was also in The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Yep.
Can we get him on the let's get him on the holiday extravaganza next week?
I'd be down. Actually, yeah, this is a Charles Dickens film. Oh. I'd probably be interested in it, to be honest with you.
All right, Jake, we have a winner finally. I'm glad. It would have been sad if we'd gone 2 weeks and no one qualified for the trip to Las Vegas. So it's Jake now.
After he wins the first two games, my heart starts racing when we get to
it almost
game
always
seven.
Comes down to game seven somehow.
God.
All right, we'll come back. Don't Do This is coming up next. Can we talk about what happened in the end of the NBA game last night?
If you must.
Yeah. Sure. I don't know if Pauly was trying to save that for the Randle Report, what a butchery of officiating at the end of the game last night.
Well, speaking of butcher, you're on Don't Do This, and you're not going to look.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I don't even know why.
Strap in.
Coming up after
it's
traffic.
It's worse than you can imagine.
This one was 97.3 The Fan.
This is going to be hard, man. I'm sorry, but I love you. Just remember I love you, and it'll be all right. He's so scared right now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy, you know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Throwback Thursday. We don't need to throw back to Don't Do This, though. We've been doing it since almost the very beginning.
Yes, sir.
Like 2 weeks into our show or something.
Yep.
One of our very first segments. Still going strong. Start with a couple of stories that make you shake your head. And I don't think I'm being biased here. You know, I do have a man crush on Steve Kerr.
Yeah, indeed.
His Golden State Warriors were playing in the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup tournament last night against the Houston Rockets. Had a one-point lead and the ball. As time was running out. Now, there wasn't enough time to run the clock out, so they had to get a shot off.
Okay.
And they did, with 10 seconds left. Ball hit the rim, and it was a long rebound, and everyone's scrambling. They had it for a second. It was rolling toward the free throw line. Everyone's scrambling on the floor trying to get it. It's 5, 4, 3. Houston's all the way on the other side of the court. The game is almost over, and then all of a sudden the whistle blows. Whoop! Whistle, and they're thinking, oh, jump ball, they're all down there. They call a foul on the Warriors in the mad scramble for the ball, and they're in the bonus, so they've taken the ball and they put Houston on the line on the other end of the court to shoot two free throws.
To win the game.
They make the two free throws.
Oh, my God.
And the Warriors lose. And Steve Kerr was pretty irate for Steve Kerr.
For him.
Pretty irate about how the officiating pretty much decided the game.
I've never seen a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen that. I think I saw it in college one time, 30 years ago. Never seen it in the NBA. That is unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened. Loose ball, diving on the floor, 80 feet from the basket, and you're going to give a guy two free throws to decide the game when people are scrambling for the ball. Just give them a timeout. It's a physical game. We're going to call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line? This is a billion-dollar industry. You got people's jobs on the line. I am stunned. I give the Rockets credit. They battled back. They played great defense all night. But I feel for our guys. Our guys battled back, played their asses off, and deserved to win that game, or at least have a chance for one stop at the end to finish the game. And that was taken from us by a call that I don't think an elementary school referee would have made. Because that guy would have had feel and said, I'm not going to decide a game on a loose ball 80 feet from the basket.
So, if it was just one of 82 regular season games, you're mad, you move on. The fact that it was the elimination game in the cup and the winner goes to Vegas to the semifinals and the players make a bunch of extra money for advancing, I think that added to the frustration that Steve Kerr was experiencing. Now, people commenting, the inside the NBA guys, they were all also in disbelief that they would make a call like that to affect the game at the end. I understand. The Warriors have gotten plenty of good calls over the years.
I don't know enough about fouls in basketball to know, was that in fact a foul? One of those that you're like, you can't call that there.
I don't really think it was a foul at all.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
And
you certainly don't call it there.
Jump ball. 100 out of 100 times.
I mean, they don't call obvious fouls on shots to decide the game because the referees go, I'm just swallowing my whistle here. Yeah, you might have gotten some arm, but you know what? I don't want to be the one who decides the game. On this, you want to be the one who decides the game.
I do love that delineation that we all make as athlete. Like, if you're an athlete, you're like, you cannot call that here. You can call it 4 innings ago. You cannot call that here.
And I agree. Not calling it is just as much deciding the game as calling it on a situation like that. But I think if the Rockets were being totally honest,
they'd be like, yes.
I don't think you should call it. I know.
Yeah, you'd hate it if it went against you guys. But. This one, I agonized over it for about 30 seconds. And then I told Pauly, do it. So, do you know what's coming?
No.
Any idea?
No idea.
Come. It's time for another interruption breakdown. Here on Ben and Woods. I came in like a wrecking ball. Now do you know?
Yes.
All right. This was
It was about 8.
Sorry to Chris Rose.
8:45
yesterday's
AM yesterday.
Yesterday's wrecking ball.
And you know, I went to college.
Hold on. You can hear his brain getting crisp. Like the smoke starting to form in your brain. Like, I'm getting this joke out. Regardless. I went to college in Chicago. I went to Cleveland a bunch. I had a freaking blast every time I went there. The people are great. It's a great place to visit. I wouldn't want to live there because I live in San Diego, but you get it.
Hey, listen, I'm from there and I don't live there.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it is great, like particularly in the summer. And I will say this.
They put out that river yet, or is it still on fire?
Okay, now that's seriously.
Chris, I'm really, sorry, Chris.
Let's get a joke that's not 50 years old. Come on.
That's all he does. Can't do it. Let's
improve our repertoire.
It's a double penalty. I have to call the foul there. I know it's the fourth quarter, but I have to call that foul.
That's a flagrant one.
It's a flagrant one.
At least.
It's not only a bad joke, but it's an interrupting joke. Would you like to respond? He's looking at me with the ire. I've never seen
it. It is great. Like, particularly in the summer. I turned my headphones.
They put out that river yet, or is it still on fire?
I didn't hear it.
I know what I did.
It got me so good. He turned it down. He didn't even listen.
It is great. Like, particularly in the summer, and I will say this.
They put out that river yet, or is it still on fire?
Oh,
you got me, Holly. I heard it again. I don't want to hear it. I told you, I put 0 on all my mental health scores. Don't change that. I'm leaning toward a 1 now at this moment. You're pushing me toward 1 mental health episode in the last 2 weeks. I was at 0, and now I'm leaning toward 1.
It's so good.
I don't need this in my life.
I will say,
let me be.
Thank you for being you. Don't ever change, but change a little. Can you just change a little bit?
You guys totally missed my greatest joke yesterday during our corn tub segment.
The Hawaiian joke. It was pretty epic. I did not give it the credit it deserved. I think I was still mad about Chris Rose. But yeah, he said, "What? What's Hawaiian?
What's the top searched term in Hawaii?" And I said, "Lay."
Patty Fenn said, time to trade Ben to the Rockies for a pine cone. It's so brilliant.
All right, finally, some doo-doo this on a Thursday.
D-D-mega
we had the news doo-doo. Yesterday that Tom Hamilton was winning the Ford C. Frick Award, going into the broadcaster's wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame. But when he got the news, his reaction yesterday, tugging at the heartstrings.
Well, whoever had under 15 seconds before he cries won. So, I'm sorry. I'm so humbled. I'm so grateful. And can't believe it happened because I certainly looked at that list of 10. And if you were to rank them, I would have put myself 10th. That was an incredible list of Ford Frick nominees. And I was just so honored to be a part of that list. So many of them I know and consider friends, and all of them on that list I consider superior to me. So I'm just want to offer congratulations to those gentlemen as well. And again, I know how blessed I've been and how fortunate I was to get that call today, whether it was deserving or not. I'll take it. So I'd also like to thank the committee members that voted for the Ford Frick Award. And obviously, I certainly appreciate their support and know how tough a decision that must be. But I'm very grateful for their confidence in me and for everybody at the Baseball Hall of Fame. I can't thank John enough, and Josh and Ken. They called this morning at about 11:45. And pretty special call.
Man, it gets me.
You hear the phrase false humility thrown around?
That ain't it.
That's not it. That is real, genuine humility.
Yeah.
He believed that, like, it was an honor to be nominated, and I'm 10th out of these 10. Wasn't even thinking he was going to get a call.
So sweet.
That's very cool. Very cool moment, and a little don't and do this for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, your Padres did make a move yesterday in the Rule 5 draft. And not only did they make a move, might be someone you'll be seeing on the roster next year, not just hiding as well, what A.J. Preller had to say about his selection in the Rule 5 draft. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Rule 5 draft is basically Major League Baseball's version of buying a lottery ticket in the form of a baseball player.
Yep.
You pay $100,000 to select a prospect from another team that was not protected on their 40-man roster, who's I think it's accumulated like 6 years of minor league service. And to keep him, you then have to have him on your major league roster for essentially the entire following season. And if you
Not just your 40 man, no, your active 26 man roster.
So he's got to be, if he's a pitcher, he's got to be, you know, either in your bullpen or your rotation or on your bench somewhere, and you can't send him down.
If not, he goes right back to the team.
You have to offer him back for $50,000. So you lose half your money essentially for taking a flyer. You know, that's the lottery ticket. You scratch it off every once in a while. You get a player that ends up being pretty decent. Padres did it last year with Stephen Kolek. Can't say that Stephen Kolek was a major contributor to the Padres, but
a couple moments.
He was good enough to be the last guy in a bullpen.
Did he strike out the side with the bases loaded one time?
Had a couple of innings, had a couple of moments, and you know, made it through enough of the season before they put him on the injured list that they now control his rights. They can both use him or send him down to the minors this year. Well, A.J. Preller took another flyer on a lottery ticket yesterday, and we will talk about the move that they made in the Rule 5 draft right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. This segment of Ben Woods brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football, and San Diego sports fans, head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings. Try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and a mild smoky chipotle heat. Or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce with a rich blend of spicy and tangy peppers. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. So Padres used their pick in the Rule 5 draft. You don't have to pick anyone. You can just pass.
Yep.
They did for like 5 or 6 straight years. They just didn't select anyone.
Yeah, you feel like when you don't select someone in the Rule 5 draft, we're in a really good place. They also had a year where I think they picked three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was that, when you pick three people off the Rule 5 draft.
Luis Torrens and a couple other guys. Yeah.
You go, oh, this is where we're at.
You know you're not really competing. Correct. And you're just hoping to strike gold.
Well, and you need bodies, basically.
And you need bodies. So the Padres selected a right-handed pitcher named Juan Nunez out of the Baltimore Orioles system. And not a nothing pitcher. A guy was ranked as high as number 8, I think, in their prospect list from MLB.com, number 20 from Baseball America. And that's a really good system. Remember, that is a loaded system. So the fact that he cracked their rankings means people think fairly highly of him. So why was he even available?
Yeah, not highly enough to protect, but
yeah,
well, when you have
a couple of reasons. You can only protect, you know, so many guys.
Correct.
And the Orioles had too many, and they had to leave a couple of guys unprotected. He also has some injury history and risk, and has only pitched as high as single A.
What a
jump. So it would be a pretty big jump. Now, last year at high A, he posted a 2.45 ERA. Not quite as good with the fielding independent pitching numbers, but that's a really, really good ERA. But, you know, less than a homer per 9 innings, 8.5% walk rate, 32.2% strikeout rate.
Yep.
Good numbers. Now,
you're facing
single A hitters. So
correct.
You can't really translate that to the big leagues. Throws pretty much 93 to 95 or 6.
Can get up to 96, 97.
A good swing and miss sweeper. So, yeah, is this a guy the Padres could hide in their bullpen, you know, and keep next season? Possibly, but that's not what A.J. Preller said. Here's what he told our, I believe, Sammy Levitt yesterday when asked about their pick of Juan Nunez in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, we got a couple of Nunez's this offseason, so in minor league free agency and now with the Rule 5. So, yeah, Juan Nunez from the Orioles system. It's a guy that four-pitch mix and, you know, plus stuff. We've had multiple scouts that have seen him over the last few years. And he's been a performer, you know, so I think checked a lot of boxes for us, you know, some rankings, a top 10 type prospect, and we get an opportunity to see him here in spring training and see how he fits in.
How do you characterize kind of what you've accomplished here? I know, like,
the moves haven't been there yet. Like, what have you accomplished this week at the winter meetings?
Yeah, again, I mean, I think, like, overall, we like our group and our team. So I think it's just, it's been a lot of conversation, a lot of you know, getting a sense of where the market is free agency-wise and trade. You know, and ultimately, you know, I think, you know, we're you know, we definitely have a lot of things that we're able to do and, you know, could line up on. We'll see where it all takes us in the next couple of weeks.
How much benefit could there be to maybe waiting to the new year, waiting for the market to cool down for some of these free agent prices and seeing what's out there back, you know, closer to spring training?
Yeah, it always just depends. Like, you know, each player's got a different idea of when and how much. And I think we have our, you know, valuation system on guys. So, you know, I think ultimately we'll, you know, we keep making phone calls, seeing, you know, if some guys go early, some guys wait. We've seen that in years past. I think we'll be prepared over the next couple of weeks. Got a better sense here that this week on some guys we like, you know, kind of how that process will work. And, you know, we'll be prepared at the right time to be competitive for certain guys.
All right, so a little bit on Nunez and a little extra there from A.J. Preller. Not in that clip, but he did say yesterday that Nunez is a starting pitcher, and he is going to be given an opportunity for a job in the Padres' starting rotation at spring training.
I mean, who's not at this point? Right?
You can always say anyone can compete. Can you realistically feel like a team that is at the level of the Padres, coming off a 93-win season, can put a single-A pitcher in their starting rotation? I mean, he'd have to really impress, I would think, in spring training. But that's the role they envision for him, a chance to compete for a starter's job for the Padres.
I'm not trying to be rude here, but I think that's just something that you say. I think that is in...
What do you think is their plan actually?
Bullpen.
Just hide him in the bullpen like you did with Cole.
Oh, we're up seven. Let's see what Nunez has. Oh, we're down seven. Let's see what Nunez has.
In low leverage situations. 100%. Like Cole was.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Right. In fact, you have to have those guys. So,
but
I don't have any problem with the Luis Nunez move. I wish him well and hope he pitches his tail off. And our buddy Clark posted a video yesterday of I actually got to watch him throw a little bit, and he looks great. I mean, he looks fantastic, but again, he's down in high A, so
got some bad swings, that's for sure.
He did get some ugly
I saw that same video. Yep. But keep in mind, and AJ Cassavell pointed this out this morning in his newsletter. You heard him in that question and answer session with AJ as well. If the Padres sign Roky Sasaki, it's almost irrelevant to the rest of their plans, because if Sasaki comes to the Padres, they're almost certainly going to need to have a six-man rotation.
Correct.
He's used to pitching once a week. You can't just drop him in a five-man rotation. So you're either putting together a five-man rotation that doesn't include Sasaki or a six-man rotation that does include Sasaki. He's not financially, no consideration there. So in a way, your off-season plans are almost completely unaffected.
You're right.
Roky Sasaki. Now, it's huge if you get him.
It's massive.
But
it's massive.
You still have to put together a five-man starting rotation.
Yeah.
And then you just add Sasaki to it as the sixth man if you land him in January, you know, when it's time to sign
him. Right, exactly. And is that set in stone that he's going to be on the Yamamoto Shohei Ohtani
nothing set
plan,
in stone,
but I know that's how it works there. And I'm assuming you don't want to move too much. You know, hey, I'm in a new country, new culture, new team, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to stay on that same scene that I have over there.
Yeah, one thing that his agent said, you know, he's looking for an organization that's going to be able to develop him in the right way. And I would imagine that when you go into that meeting with Roky Sasaki, you're going to go, yeah, we plan to throw you every 5 days right away and, you know, just throw you into the fire, throw you to the wolves. Or are you going to tell him, yeah, you know, we want you, you know, doing kind of what you did in Japan, once a week, 6 day rotation. That's going to be our plan at the beginning. And then, you know, obviously, you know, as you're feeling, but, you know, more comfortable with it, we can in, you know, future seasons or later in the year, maybe up your usage.
Yeah,
but you're gonna promise him whatever he needs,
of course,
to come to your team.
Also, I'd like you to meet Roky Ruben Niebla, who has done some really, really special things with some players. If you look up the road, if you like the IL, maybe that's the spot for you. If you don't like the IL and you like pitching every sixth day with the pitching guru. Welcome to San Diego, bud. Still don't think it's going to happen, but that's just the way I'm wired.
Yeah, if his truly goal is to just pitch as minimally as possible, sure, the Dodgers will be a nice place for that because
sure.
They can afford to put as many other pitchers in the rotation as they want.
Correct.
If his goal is to have an impact on a team,
be a part of a rotation.
Yeah, you know, it's the Padres would be, I think, the right selection for him. And you know, he's going to go through that process. And again, I don't know when the decision is going to happen, but he won't sign until at least January 15th.
Correct.
So we still have a month plus of waiting for that big day.
Yeah, I guess I can't say I'm super surprised that the Padres didn't walk away, especially after seeing those, especially with pitchers. My God, as we talked about earlier, that arena is a really, really crazy and pricey arena. And you're looking around baseball at who's actually spending money. And it's typically the usual suspects. Am I wrong? I mean, the A's being the outlier because, well, they had a gun to their head from the commissioner's office that said, you have to spend some money. So they said, all right, we'll spend $68 million on Luis Severino. But for the most part, man, it's the usual suspects that are spending money right now, except us. We've been the usual suspect the last few years. It feels weird to not be spending right now.
All right, we are 2 hours in. We will come back for more Ben and Woods. Can we talk about what Joe Musgrove and Dylan Cease were up to?
Yeah.
On their Instagram feed yesterday. And we still have our Ben and Woods Wrapped, looking back at the month of June. One of our favorite moments of the year. And James Taylor tickets to give away all coming up. Hour number three, Ben and Woods and Eno Saris all ahead here on 97.3 The Fan.